Today is the 29th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible, and here we are at the threshold of a sparkly, shiny new week. And we've got some ground to cover this week. Before the week is over, we will enter a new month. And we're going to begin four books in the scriptures this week. So in the Old Testament, we will read through the Book of Lamentations, which we're about to get to in just a minute, and then begin the Book of Ezekiel. And in the New Testament, we'll read Paul's letter to Philemon, which we will read today, and then move our way into the Book of Hebrews. So we've got some ground to cover, and let's get to it. We're going to read from the Good News Translation this week, and we will begin by beginning the Book of Lamentations. And the Book of Lamentations is a book that contains five poems, and they're poems of lament and grief. And this lament is over the fall and destruction of Jerusalem. And we covered some of that territory as we read through Jeremiah's prophecies. So in Hebrew, this book is called Aikah, which means, how could this happen? And of course, we know how it could happen. Jeremiah the prophet warned over and over decades of impending doom if the children of Israel didn't return from their wicked ways, and now the prophecy has come true. And although Aikah, or Lamentations, doesn't claim an author, and there's really no definitive proof, we have church tradition that tells us that the prophet Jeremiah wrote these lamentations. So we don't know that for a fact, but he was obviously intimate with the scenario and in the same time period. So Lamentations was probably written somewhere in early 587 BC as the Babylonians conquered and then completely destroyed Jerusalem in 586. Whether Jeremiah wrote this or not, someone who was an eyewitness probably did. And today in Jewish culture, on the ninth day of Ab, which is July 16th on the Western calendar, Lamentations is read on a day of fasting to commemorate the fall of Jerusalem. And as each poem is read, it provides a backdrop for personal reflection. Lamenting, that's never something that we sign up for. Lamenting is never an easy thing. Grief is certainly hard. But it also has a way of washing us clean, because it strips us away until all that's left is what is true, what is bedrock in our lives. And it can be intensely painful, for sure. But it's also freeing, in hindsight. And when we've fallen into the depths, and there's no more depths to go to, and then we find there's hope. There's nowhere to go but up, the euphemism says. There's hope for our future. And we can find in this book of Lamentations much hope in our personal reflection. And so we begin Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, 22. How lonely lies Jerusalem, once so full of people. Once honored by the world, she is now like a widow. The noblest of cities has fallen into slavery. All night long she cries. Tears run down her cheeks. Of all her former friends, not one is left to comfort her. Her allies have betrayed her and are all against her now. Judah's people are helpless slaves, forced away from home. They live in other lands, with no place to call their own. Surrounded by enemies with no way to escape. No one comes to the temple now to worship on the holy days. The young women who sang there suffer, and the priests can only groan. The city gates stand empty, and Zion is in agony. Her enemies succeeded. They hold her in their power. The Lord has made her suffer for all her many sins. Her children have been captured and taken away. The splendor of Jerusalem is a thing of the past. Her leaders are like deer that are weak from hunger, whose strength is almost gone as they flee from the hunters. A lonely ruin now. Jerusalem recalls her ancient splendor. When she fell to the enemy, there was no one to help her. Her conquerors laughed at her downfall. Her honor is gone. She is naked and held in contempt. She groans and hides her face in shame. Jerusalem made herself filthy with terrible sin. Her uncleanness was easily seen, but she showed no concern for her fate. Her downfall was terrible. No one can comfort her. Her enemies have won, and she cries to the Lord for mercy. The enemies robbed her of all her treasures. She saw them enter the temple itself, where the Lord had forbidden Gentiles to go. Her people groan as they look for something to eat. They exchange their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. "Look at me, Lord," the city cries. "See me in my misery. Look at me," she cries to everyone who passes by. "No one has ever had pain like mine. Pain that the Lord brought on me in the time of his anger. He sent fire from above, a fire that burned inside me. He set a trap for me and brought me to the ground. Then he abandoned me and left me in constant pain. He took note of all my sins and tied them all together. He hung them around my neck, and I grew weak beneath the weight. The Lord gave me to my foes, and I was helpless against them. The Lord laughed at my strongest soldiers. He sent an army to destroy my young men. He crushed my people like grapes in a winepress. That is why my eyes are overflowing with tears. No one can comfort me. No one can give me courage. The enemy has conquered me. My people have nothing left. I stretch out my hands, but no one will help me. The Lord has called enemies against me from every side. They treat me like some filthy thing. But the Lord is just, for I have disobeyed him. Listen to me, people everywhere. Look at me in my pain. My young men and women have been taken away captive. I called to my allies, but they refused to help me. The priests and the leaders died in the city streets, looking for food to keep themselves alive. Look, O Lord, at my agony, at the anguish of my soul. My heart is broken in sorrow for my sins. There is murder in the streets. Even indoors, there is death. Listen to my groans. There is no one to comfort me. My enemies are glad that you brought disaster on me. Bring the day you promised. Make my enemies suffer as I do. Condemn them for all their wickedness. Punish them as you punished me for my sins. I groan in misery, and I am sick at heart. The Lord in his anger has covered Zion with darkness. Its heavenly splendor he has turned into ruins. On the day of his anger, he abandoned even his temple. The Lord destroyed without mercy every village in Judah and tore down the forts that defended the land. He brought disgrace on the kingdom and its rulers. In his fury, he shattered the strength of Israel. He refused to help us when the enemy came. He raged against us like fire, destroying everything. He aimed his arrows at us like an enemy. He killed all those who were our joy and delight. Here in Jerusalem, we felt his burning anger. Like an enemy, the Lord has destroyed Israel. He has left her forts and palaces in ruins. He has brought on the people of Judah unending sorrow. He smashed to pieces the temple where we worshipped him. He has put an end to holy days and Sabbaths. King and priest alike have felt the force of his anger. The Lord rejected his altar and deserted his holy temple. He allowed the enemy to tear down its walls. They shouted in victory, for once we had worshipped in joy. The Lord was determined that the walls of Zion should fall. He measured them off to make sure of total destruction. The towers and walls now lie in ruins together. The gates lie buried in rubble, their bars smashed to pieces. The king and the noblemen now are in exile. The law is no longer taught. And the prophets have no visions from the Lord. Jerusalem's old men sit on the ground in silence, with dust on their heads and sackcloth on their bodies. Young women bow their heads to the ground. My eyes are worn out with weeping. My soul is in anguish. I am exhausted with grief at the destruction of my people. Children and babies are fainting in the streets of the city. Hungry and thirsty, they cry to their mothers. They fall in the streets as though they were wounded and slowly die in their mother's arms. Oh, Jerusalem, beloved Jerusalem, what can I say? How can I comfort you? No one has ever suffered like this. Your disaster is boundless as the ocean. There is no possible hope. Your prophets had nothing to tell you but lies. Their preaching deceived you by never exposing your sin. They made you think you did not need to repent. People passing by the city look at you in scorn. They shake their heads and laugh at Jerusalem's ruins. Is this that lovely city? Is this the pride of the world? All your enemies mock you and glare at you with hate. They curl their lips and sneer. We have destroyed it. This is the day we have waited for. The Lord has finally done what he threatened to do. He has destroyed us without mercy, as he warned us long ago. He gave our enemies victory, gave them joy at our downfall. O Jerusalem, let your very walls cry out to the Lord. Let your tears flow like rivers night and day. Wear yourself out with weeping and grief. All through the night, get up again and again to cry out to the Lord. Pour out your heart and beg him for mercy on your children. Children starving to death on every street corner. Look, O Lord, why are you punishing us like this? Women are eating the bodies of the children they loved. Priests and prophets are being killed in the temple itself. Young and old alike lie dead in the streets. Young men and women killed by enemy swords. You slaughtered them without mercy on the day of your anger. You invited my enemies to hold a carnival of terror all around me, and no one could escape on that day of your anger. They murdered my children, whom I had raised and loved. Okay, so as we enter the New Testament portion of our reading today, we come to the book of Philemon. It's just a little personal letter from the Apostle Paul that we'll read today, all in one sitting. And it's written to a church leader in the church at Colossae, so the Colossians, and his name was Philemon. So Philemon was one of the more wealthy and influential churchmen, and in a strange twist of divine providence, Philemon had a servant, and his name was Onesimus. And Onesimus ran away, and probably stealing from Philemon, so stealing from his master in the process. And Onesimus ends up not in Colossae, but in Rome, where Paul is under house arrest. And so this runaway servant, Onesimus, comes under Paul's teachings and then becomes a follower of Jesus and becomes kind of like the servant of Paul, attends to Paul's needs. So Paul's written a letter to the Colossians, right? He wrote the letter to the Colossians that we have in the New Testament, and he's preparing to send it back with another servant named Tychicus. But then he writes this very short personal letter to go along with the letter to the Colossians, to the church at Colossae. He pens this personal letter to Philemon and then sends Onesimus, the runaway servant, with Tychicus back to Colossae. And as short as this little personal letter is, it packs a punch. It shows us the importance of forgiveness. And it shows us that no matter what our level of authority is over another person, if they are a believer, then they're a brother or sister, and we're to treat them like family. And it also shows us a perfect example of how God does, in fact, work all things together for the good of those who love him. And so with that, we read the letter to Philemon. From Paul, a prisoner for the sake of Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy. To our friend and fellow worker, Philemon, and the church that meets in your house, and our sister, Apphia, and our fellow soldier, Archippus. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Brother Philemon, every time I pray, I mention you and give thanks to my God. For I hear of your love for all of God's people and the faith you have in the Lord Jesus. My prayer is that our fellowship with you as believers will bring about a deeper understanding of every blessing which we have in our life in union with Christ. Your love, dear brother, has brought me great joy and much encouragement. You have cheered the hearts of all of God's people. For this reason, I could be bold enough, as your brother in Christ, to order you to do what should be done. But because I love you, I make a request instead. I do this even though I am Paul, the ambassador of Christ Jesus, and at present also a prisoner for his sake. So I make a request to you on behalf of Onesimus, who is my own son in Christ. For while in prison, I have become his spiritual father. At one time he was of no use to you, but now he is useful both to you and to me. I am sending him back to you now, and with him goes my heart, I would like to keep him here with me while I am in prison, for the gospel's sake, so that he could help me in your place. However, I do not want to force you to help me. Rather, I would like for you to do it of your own free will. So, I will not do anything unless you agree. It may be that Onesimus was away from you for a short time, so that you might have him back for all time. And now he is not just a slave, but much more than a slave. He is a dear brother in Christ. How much he means to me, and how much more he will mean to you, both as a slave and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you think of me as your partner, welcome him back just as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong, or owes you anything, charge it to my account. Here, I will write this with my own hand. I, Paul, will pay you back. I should not have to remind you, of course, that you owe your very self to me. So, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. As a brother in Christ, cheer me up. I am sure, as I write this, that you will do what I ask. In fact, I know that you will do even more. At the same time, get a room ready for me, because I hope that God will answer the prayers of all of you and give me back to you. Epaphras, who is in prison with me for the sake of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. And so do my co-workers, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Psalm 101. A King's Promise. My song is about loyalty and justice, and I sing it to you, O Lord. My conduct will be faultless. When will you come to me? I will live a pure life in my house and will never tolerate evil. I hate the actions of those who turn away from God. I will have nothing to do with them. I will not be dishonest and will have no dealings with evil. I will get rid of anyone who whispers evil things about someone else. I will not tolerate anyone who is proud and arrogant. I will approve of those who are faithful to God and will let them live in my palace. Those who are completely honest will be allowed to serve me. No liar will live in my palace. No hypocrite will remain in my presence. Day after day I will destroy the wicked in our land. I will expel all who are evil from the city of the Lord. Proverbs 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, quarreling stops.
Okay, so we've already talked quite a bit about the letter and the book that we entered into today. And we can see, as we read the first couple of chapters of Lamentations, that it's a gut punch. That it leads us into emotions and territory that are things that we try to avoid. And that's why it's here. Because we shouldn't avoid these things. We should invite the Holy Spirit into them. And as we read these poems, allow the Holy Spirit to move us through lament. Right? And so maybe we haven't, lived in a city with walls that have been torn down and a temple that is like those things that we have witnessed through Jeremiah and now Lamentations. But we all have regrets. We all have things that were like, I could have done that better. I wish I had done that differently. And, you know, now I'm going through what I'm going through because of that. Or that sent me into a really hard season. So a lot of times, because it was hard and because it was painful, we try to suppress and repress even going there, like even thinking about it anymore. Like, it's just so painful. But the thing is, it's still inside of us. Like, it's still inside. It's still there. Like, it may be shoved up into the attic or down into the basement of our hearts, but it's still there. And the Holy Spirit uses times of lament to bring us back so that He can heal those places rather than allowing them to continue to seep poison into our lives. And that's the invitation as we go through books like Lamentations. And then obviously this little short letter to Philemon from the Apostle Paul is a treasure to have because, you know, we only have a few personal letters, and the personal letters are mostly pastoral in nature. And so here's this personal letter to a man who kind of leads a home church. And he's basically saying, Onesimus is my son in the faith now, and he has served me, and I would like him to continue to serve me, but he's yours, so I'm sending him back to you in hopes that you will send him back to me. So just this little glimpse into sort of the backstory of what's going on, aside from Paul giving theology and doctrine and instruction. This is just like a little side personal thing that gives us a glimpse into his existence and his circumstances as he's imprisoned in Rome. And then we come to the proverb. And we can't not talk about that for just a second. Gossip. Gossip is like cancer. I have witnessed this so many times in so many contexts. And gossip takes on many forms, but usually always is paired with, married to, assumptions. So gossip doesn't become gossip until assumptions are made and blanks are filled in and a story is formulated and little bits from here and there are collected, right? And then it's spoken to somebody else and passed around, and the person that's being referred to isn't even there to speak. And so when they find out that people have been talking about them behind their backs, okay, then there's a confrontation, then there's quarreling, then there's argument, then there's separation, then there's factions, then this whole community that, you know, that's involved is divided, and you got all kinds of problems. And we've probably all seen this, maybe participated in it, maybe been on the receiving end of it, but it just... Like, when have you ever seen gossip work out for good? Like, when have you ever seen... A gossip, a person who collects all these little pieces of information and then tries to fill in the blanks and start spreading these things around. When have you seen that work out in a good way? It just never does. And it hasn't for a long time because we're reading ancient wisdom here. Thousands and thousands of years old. And it didn't work then. So we should get a clue that as juicy as it is and as entertaining as it might be, people's lives aren't there to entertain you, and division never works out well. The proverb tells us, without wood, a fire goes out. So we know that, right? You have a bonfire, it's autumn, you have a bonfire out in the back somewhere, it's roaring, everybody's having a good time, and then you pull all the logs out of the fire, and the fire goes out. The proverb says that's how it works with gossip. When you don't have it, because gossip is the fuel. It's the wood of the bonfire. If you remove it, then the division and quarreling will stop. We should remember this. All our words matter. All our words are creating the reality we live in. And words spoken as gossip are only adding fuel to a fire that is going to be tremendously destructive in the end. And so, Father, we acknowledge this. We know this is true. And even in the context of the Book of Lamentations, it may be our words It may be gossip and quarreling and division and divisiveness that we have regrets over, that we need to invite you into and that we need to lament over. So much of our story boils back to our words, and so we surrender our tongues, our mouths, our thoughts to you, and acknowledge that without wood, a fire goes out, and without gossip, quarreling stops. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us forward, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Just Judy for Jesus, and I am calling to let Junked Treasure know that she is well-loved, well-respected, and highly prayed for out here in this family's world. Now, I know she's going through bad times right now, but let me tell you, girl, you are well prayed for. I pray high on you. I pray, I lift you up. I lift you up high to let Jesus know, to reach down there with his beautiful, loving hands and hold you and stroke your head and just tell you how much he loves you, and things are going to be okay. Like you say, take the junk that's thrown into our lives and turn it into treasure. We love you so much, and we appreciate all the prayers that you pray. You never seem to leave anyone out. You're just wonderful. And that will come back to you because you are God's creature. You are God's daughter. You are God's love. And he will see you through this shallow, deep valley, and he will gladly walk you right out to the other side to sunshine and happiness. So hang in there, Junked Treasure. You will be okay. We will not stop praying for you. So hang in there, sweetie. We love you so much. And God's Yellow Flower, I love you too. You prayed for my brother when he was dying of cancer. And I'll never forget it. He's passed now, but I will never forget you reaching out and praying for him. It was Bob Allen from Arizona. And Eyes of Dove, I'll pray for anything you want me to pray for, because you are good too. You're wonderful. There's so many of you guys that I love out there. I don't call in often, but I listen all the time. And I always say, oh God, please be with those people. There are so many of you that need, we all need to get around that campfire, hold hands, and pray for each other hard and strong and long.
Hi. Good evening, Dabs. Today is October 23rd. This is Gift of God calling in. Just want to say thank you for all the prayers for Jalea, my cousin, the 9-year-old little girl that had to have surgery. She is recovering so well. She's going into therapy, but hey, the devil lost. When the doctor said that we had to call, her mom had to call in all the family members, and they didn't think she was going to make it. But ha, the devil, we laugh in your face because saying you a lie. She's recovering well, and I just want to thank each and every one of you who said a prayer. And I also want to say a prayer for those who are in need. I don't know all of your names. I do hear your prayers and I do pray for you, but I just want you to know that the God we serve is good. So I'm going to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for all you do and all that you've done and all that you're about to do. We thank you for every dabber, Lord God. We ask you to continue to watch over them, protect them. Lord, provide for them, Lord. Give them everything that they need, Lord God. Father, we just say thank you, Lord God, for you wake us up every day, Lord God. And Lord, you allow us to be able to use every limb, Lord God. And Father, you give us the ability to understand and to comprehend everything, Lord, we do. That we do on our jobs. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Pamela, resting in the Lord from Pennsylvania. Today I'm calling in to pray for, to continue prayers for people dealing with trauma or stress of any kind with all the darkness in the world right now, with the war in Israel and There's just darkness permeating into every part of our lives, it seems like. But we don't have to be taken down by the enemy. With that darkness, we can keep our mind on the Lord and His plans and all the good that He has for our futures, and keep our hope in Him and our mind on things above. I'm also calling in to pray for all of us who have challenges in our marriage, either separated, divorced, or living in a very difficult situation. I am among you as well. I want to thank Kristen, Christ in Me, for calling in with the prayer for a narcissistic husband. For Diana in Florida, I am saying that prayer over my husband. And I believe I'm seeing some differences. My husband and I are also attending a freedom course, a freedom curriculum with small groups, and then a conference at the end. And it is transforming our lives. So I'm praising God for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know this world is coming into darkness, but that's what you let us know in your word. Help us to trust you, to be the light in the darkness, and trust in you for every single thing. In Jesus'
name. Hello, Bob from Colorado. I was listening to, I believe it was October 4th or 5th, podcast, gentleman praying for his daughter, Aston, who thought she was pregnant, but it turned out that the test was erroneous, and she's not. But she desires deeply to have a child. And I really was moved by the father, who loves his daughter, obviously, request of his prayers for her. So I do pray that Aston, Lord, I pray you have mercy on her, give her the desires of her heart. And I know you know exactly what is best, and I pray certainly primarily for that. But if it be good, Lord, I pray whatever you're working in the lives of that family, that you would bless them and encourage them and be with them, Lord, always. And thank you for your faithfulness to all your people who are calling in. Many needs, but you are faithful. You are a just Lord. Lead not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways. Acknowledge Him, and He will give us the desires of our heart. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.